Blog Talk Radio.
Yes.
Yeah.
My man. Yes, sir. How you doing, Mr. Fleming?
I'm good, Wardell. How are you, brother?
Man, I'm so good. It's Friday. You know what? You know what else? You know, we're excited. The weekend is here. We don't have to go to work
tomorrow.
Well, some of us. Some of us don't go to work tomorrow, as some of us do. And so, right. But Friday is the beginning of the, we kick out the Solar Weekend here on Solar Records Radio every Friday by celebrating the sound of Los Angeles Records. And, you know, we're so grateful that we could have this opportunity to, you know, play this music for you, talk to you about some of the experiences in the studio, you know, working with the company and the individuals, just talking about them and stuff. So, right. You know, I just want to... Yeah, so it's a wonderful opportunity for Don and I to do this for you guys, and we just pray that you are all good, and also Greg, you know, who helps us set all this stuff up and make sure that, you know, we stay on point. He likes to, you know, he's a bully in the background. Y'all don't know, but he's a bully, I'm telling you. And so, but we love and all and appreciate all you guys. We hope you're doing good. It is cold in a lot of places. Don, it was really weird yesterday. It started getting cold at 12 o'clock noon. It started getting cold.
Yeah.
I think we went up to like about 60 degrees, and then all of a sudden it started getting colder. But then at about 10 o'clock at night, it started warming up again. Like, what? And so that was the humidity that came in that caused it to start warming back up. It was just really weird because I was getting my heater ready, and then it started warming up, and I was like, oh, wow, that's cool. So, but anyway, man, everything good with you guys? Don, everything good with you?
Everything's good, man. The weather is just on some crazy stuff right now. You know, no disrespect to anyone bipolar. I'm just, you know, as far as just the... You know, just the weather's just been really like bipolar like that, you know?
Oh, yeah, it's kind of a wild thing.
Yeah. So, but, you know, at the same time, you just adjust because it's like you can wear a sweater, but wear shorts and sandals with socks on. So you're compromising. You're acclimating to the climate or the situation at hand.
Right. Yeah,
I've seen people do that. I've seen people wear cardigan sweaters and cargo shorts and socks with sandals. I'm saying that was new fashion.
New fashion, man. I tell you, we are. We, you know, you have to be careful out there because, ooh, Lord. I remember when I first went to California to audition for Dynasty, and I wasn't acclimated to the weather yet. And, dude, you just don't know. Yeah, and so it was so hot. And in the daytime when we were running around doing stuff. So I had my shorts on. Man, when it came in the evening time, I was freezing. I was like, what is going on? How it was just burning up. And that was like April when I went out there. And so it was still not, you know, summertime yet. Spring was just starting to kick in. And it was just a real weird situation for me. But anyway, man. So, guys, today we want to just play some good music for you. And we hope that you... will enjoy the music that we play for you here, and you know, Don and Greg, they all got questions and stuff, and we'll do our best to answer your questions. If you have questions, send us a message through Messenger or go on to our page, the Solar Records Radio group page, and you can send us a message there, and we'll do our best to, you know, to answer you guys. Okay, so we look forward to doing. Yeah, so. Anything else, yes, my sir. Brother? Anything else on your heart?
Well, we talked about yesterday, last night. Thank you again for hanging out on the show. Throwback Thursday night, every Thursday, from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. So make sure you guys tune in and check out that show. I did ask Wardell. We were going to go into the day, but I was going to ask him about the Soul Train experience. Performing on Soul Train and things like that, and I wanted him to kind of ponder on it, but I definitely want to, you know, get a nice, you know, get. He's always come with great answers or whatever because of the experience, and you can tell he was very, very passionate. He remembers certain things to a T. Some of the things he remembers to a T, but I want him to ponder on that. I just wanted to just ask you about your Soul Train performances and just how done was, how was the studio huge, was it small, you know, but we'll say that for
I'll
now.
Answer.
We'll say that for later. You'll answer it now?
I'll answer it now. I have other questions that's coming in too right now, so it's getting loaded. It's getting loaded.
Well, hey, the floor is yours, my brother.
Okay, so let's see here. You want me to answer yours, or you want me to answer the other questions first? What do you want?
You answer the other ones. You know, I talk to you all the time.
Okay, but your question is important, and let me answer this other question. Any memories? Because we were talking about the song that we just played. So do you want to know if I have any memories of recording "Do Me Right"? Yes. I do. I have a lot of memories of that because it was a time when, you know, we had just got off the road and we did the stuff for, we did the Solar Records Galaxy of Stars tour with the Whispers, Lakeside, Shalimar, and Dynasty. And that was an amazing tour. It was my very first tour ever. And I was a little kid. I was a little kid running around in my gymnastic top and my little white shorts on and my tennis shoes and my wristbands and my big old afro, and it was fun. And it was
right,
it was
right.
But the best part for me, guys, is that I got to play with Dynasty and Shalimar. So I would go on with Dynasty and then go off, and then Lakeside would come on. And then I'll go out and watch Lakeside because I love watching Lakeside. They were like my big brothers, and so I was learning all, you know, the stage stuff from them. And then I watched them
right.
do their thing. And then when I knew they were getting close to the end, I would go back and then Shalimar's dressing room, and then we all getting dressed and stuff. And then after that, come back out and bam, and hit it with Shalimar. And it was just amazing. It was electrified because then Jeffrey Daniels would come up and just start doing the backslide out of nowhere, and the people are like, whoa, 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 and the kids are screaming and just having a great time. And it was awesome. We were just really, really blessed. But anyway, so we had just came back off of that tour, and it was a great tour. We were having fun. And so we get back and go in the studio immediately, and we start recording everybody's stuff. And so it was the Whispers, Shalimar, Dynasty, and Kerry Lucas. We were recording all those albums at the very same time. And so when it came to Dynasty's thing, Do Me Right, man, that was fun. We went in the studio, I just remember, you know, and it's so weird because I could speak for my part, I didn't know what the heck I was going to play until we started. When I heard it, I was like, whoa, okay, I'm hearing it. And so then, but for some reason, because there was not any charts, Leon always wanted me to play what I felt, right? And sometimes he may have an idea, but, you know, he really just, that was only in the very beginning when the very first thing we started recording. But after that, he just wanted me to just play what you feel, Wardell, because at that point I had, you know, came into my own and had established, you know, in my mind what Leon was looking for. And my goal was to always to make him feel good about my part. I was just like, if nobody else sounds good, I'm going to make sure Leon likes what I'm doing. And so I studied really hard to make sure that I could perfect and do whatever it took to make it happen. And so what that meant was no alcohol, no marijuana drugs, none of those things that are distracting from, you know, just focus, and no cigarette. I didn't do those things anyway, but I did drink. I did drink wine. I love wine. I always like wine. I would have a little red wine and stuff. And periodically I would have beer, but I didn't like beer either. But I would periodically, because it was just sitting there, I was like, okay, I'll sip it. But for the most part, the drugs and stuff, now that was not my thing. I never could get into drugs. I was too afraid. to be perfectly honest. I was afraid that, you know, I'd get in trouble and my mom would be upset. I was, you know, I was a mama's boy, so I was just afraid and I didn't want to mess up. So, but, you know, but
you didn't want to disappoint them.
Right, didn't want to disappoint anybody, and didn't, especially myself. And I'm out here now, and I'm trying to do this career, and I was not going to allow myself to do stupid stuff, you know. And so, to the best of my ability, of course, I made mistakes along the way. But anyway, so yeah, going in there. So we went in the studio, and we're at Studio Masters on Beverly Boulevard in Beverly Hills, and. So we're in the studio and I'm in my booth. I have my own booth, and then the other guys, everybody else is in this other room, but I'm isolated as a drummer, you know, so my drums don't leak into the microphones of the other musicians stuff. So, and also, you know, it's kind of hard for them to hear each other, but you know, it was like, you know, once I found out where the tempo was and where we were going. And back then, we didn't have metronomes. We didn't use metronomes. We didn't use anything. I was the metronome. So once I found out where that beat was going to be, I locked it in my brain. And I remember counting that song off. 1, 2, 3. And then dun, 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 dun. And then, you know, and it was on. And it was fun. And so that's what I remember. And just, you know, going through it and watching the song build, and watching Leon, how he built the songs, how he would, you know, start from just a groove. And next thing you know, I hear the, then he starts putting the backgrounds on it, you know. And so that, and at that time I was learning how to be a producer watching Leon. I would just stay there. Everybody else would float around and do other stuff. I'd just stay right there. And I watched him and watched him. And then after that, he would do a dummy lead vocal. And sometimes he would go on himself and do the dummy lead vocal. And I would punch him in. I would sit at the board and punch him in. And he'll do his, you know, sing the parts down. Or he'll have somebody else go on and sing the parts, just depending on the situation. But when it was Dynasty stuff, if Kevin was there, he would have him do it. But if not, Leon would do it. Leon liked to sing a lot. He really did like to sing. And I think that was, it was good security for him because, you know, that vocal, his family was all about vocals. So when he put the vocal down, he could, you know, protect the foundation of the song, the integrity of the song. He would know that he's got it right, because now that he got his voice on, he can hear everything. He hears all the harmonies and all that other stuff just coming into his head as he's doing this stuff. So it was just an amazing time recording that. So anyway, that I hope I answered your question. And what was your question? One more time, Don. You were talking about Soul Train, right?
Yeah, just a little tidbit of your experience performing on Soul Train. Was the did you have a rapport with the dancers? Did you, was the set huge, small? Did you experience the Kentucky Fried Chicken, you know, breaks and all that stuff?
Of course, Don would think of food.
Yeah.
So. It was the same kind of as going on stage and performing, but this performance is not a live performance. We were actually lip syncing on the Solar stuff. I mean, on the Soul Train shows. So we weren't real, but I had to play because I can't fake that. So in the studio, I'm playing my drums because I can't fake playing drums. Right, everybody else, they could play their guitar, but if it's not plugged in, you don't hear it, but they could still play their parts. So they were playing their parts, but it wasn't plugged in. But my drums, there ain't no plugging it in. I'm hitting those drums and everybody could hear it. And that was the way it was. And so we playing to the music, and you know, it was just really interesting. I mean, as far as the girls, the groupies, did I try to get to know the people? No, I didn't really try to get to know the people. I respected them, and they respected us, and, you know, and not that I didn't want to get to know the girls, but, you know, because I thought I was all that in a bag of chips, right? So they, you know, they're trying to talk to us a little bit, and, you know, some of the guys did, you know, but for the most part, we had to stay focused and do what we were there to do, and so we were very professional at that. But like a lot of the engineers and the other guys that was just out there, they were able to do all that stuff and have a good time with them. So what I mean a good time, you know, good conversation, not anything disgusting or anything, just really just have a good conversation and hang out with them and laugh and stuff, take pictures. And so but yeah, that was you know, because watching it, you know, we grew up watching Soul Train as kids, right, Don? And so you're watching it on TV all the time, and then to be there and doing it, it's like, whoa. And but a lot of stuff that happened, this is the real truth. A lot of stuff that was happening, the movement of it was so, how do I say that? It was moving so quickly that you didn't even realize that you were dealing in history. You didn't realize that you're hanging out with people, you know, these superstars that were coming over to the studio, hanging out with us and, you know, and doing stuff. You didn't grasp it. I mean, we in there with Marvin Gaye and you know, so many people came into the studio and hung out with us, and even actors and stuff and actresses in different TV movies, and Janet Jackson, and just, you know, tons of people would come into the studio, you know, hanging out with the Brothers Johnson and stuff, just hanging out with these guys, laughing and talking. And you don't realize, or I didn't realize, like, I'm hanging out with these guys. These guys are, you know, but it was Earth, Wind and Fire was hanging out with us. You don't, and it was like we were just all having a good time together. But then when I look back at it, I go, man, wow, I was hanging out with Maurice White. And, you know, Al McKay was a guitar player for Earth, Wind & Fire.
Right.
And it's just like, you know, and so same thing with, you know, Soul Train. It was just, the stuff was just happening. It just happened. The movement was happening, you know. And then, you know, people like Dick Griffey, people want to know who is this Dick Griffey guy. And, you know, and he just come into our room and just start talking and laughing. And, you know, you don't realize you're hanging out with these people that, you know, show up in these limos, and, you know, they're celebrities, right? And it's like, you don't pay any attention because you're kind of in the room with them. You're in that space with them. People are looking at you like a celebrity, and you don't feel like you're a celebrity. Right. You're just Wardell, the drummer from Philly, right? You don't feel like you're anything special or anything, you know, but, you know, people made you feel that way, you know? And the other thing, too, is that a lot of times when we were on the road, they made you feel like you were somebody special, you know, because they bought everything for you. You didn't have to buy anything, you know. It was just, you know, they gave you everything. And it's like, wow, you know, and you know, you're riding in the limo, you know, you just wake up and, okay, Foods is here, and then you guys going to go and get in the limo, and then they're going to take you over to this place, to the rehearsal hall. Let's get a sound check, and after the sound check, they're going to take you over here to get something to eat. And then you go to the place to get something to eat, and there's a bunch of people there wanting your autograph. You know, so you're in this space, like, whoa, all this is happening, you know, and you have no control over it because you signed up for it. You know, you said, I want to do this, and you signed up for it. And so it was beautiful. And, you know, and Jody Watley used to always come and hang out with us, and we, you know, Jeffrey Daniels, and, you know, Howard was Love Daddy. He was always chasing the girls. But we, you know, we were all just, it was just a beautiful time, man. It was a beautiful time. So anyway, I hope I answered. Did I answer your question, Don?
You did. Thank you.
Okay. Is there anything else you want to ask in regards to that?
Leave it to the people. A lot of people got questions to ask, and Let's get to them as soon as we can. If you have any questions for me, like I'm a part of it. Now, which is you?
Right.
It is. What it
right.
is. Just ask, no, just ask away.
All right. So, well, let's get to some music. I'm gonna play Don. I'm gonna play a song for Don. I'm gonna dedicate this to you, Don, because I know you love the song. And then we'll be back here on Solar Records Radio right after this. Let's take a listen.
I
Wow, what an amazing vibe that is, right? Woo, that takes us all back. Man, let's go all the way. That was before I even got with the Whispers. They were already, they had already had a career. When they ended up signing up with Solar, they relaunched a new career. their career was just relaunched. And, you know, because they were balladeers, right? They were mid-temples and ballads that were their hits. And once they got with Solar, we put the fire underneath them. and it changed their whole thing. I mean, all of a sudden now they are up-tempo groove band as well as ballads. So how wonderful is that to be able to, you know, go on stage and play both, you know, up-tempo and ballad and mid-tempo. So, I mean, that's just both with three different types of grooves, and they are all hits. That's got to be great for your audience and for you as an artist to be able to, you know, deliver the goods like that. So, man, the Whispers, like, their career is just ridiculous. I think they're in 50 years now. I remember the last time I had them on for an interview, it was 47 years. And so it must be, yeah, so they're getting close to 50. And I know Kool & the Gang is at 50 plus. And so, but anyway, thank you guys so much for your questions. And there's more to come, I see. So let me see something. There was a question I want to answer right here. This one says, other than the regular musicians who featured on the tracks, are there any other musicians you remember working with who were bought in to play for the label? So, you know, I have to say, you know, there is a lot of them, right? There is a lot of great musicians that came in and worked with us on a lot of projects and stuff. And we had William Zimmerman, who co-wrote And the Beat Goes On with, I mean, not And the Beat Goes On, but Keep On Loving Me. He co-wrote that with me. Great keyboardist, but he could play. He's a saxophone player, and he plays keyboards and I don't know how many instruments he plays, but all I know is that whatever we needed, he would provide. He would get it done. And so William Zimmerman, a great musician and songwriter, Boki, a bass player that was just amazing, that played on a lot of the records and stuff, that helped out and stuff. And but him being a bass player, that kind of, you know, made it a challenge because Leon was playing bass on basically everything, like I was playing drums basically on everything. But there were times when, you know, Leon would hear something that Boki was doing and it's like, let's just record that, you know, you just do it. And so so Dana Myers played this instrument that was so different. It was so weird. I don't know what it's called, but it was something that I'm gonna find out. I'll find out during this show, and then I'll tell you what it is. But it was like, it was just a really different kind of instrument. I've never seen anyone play it, and I haven't seen him do anything with it either. But before, you know, Dana was, you know, writing with us. He was in another group, and he was playing this instrument. And the name of his group, I believe, was called Platypus, and he was playing this instrument. And so I will get in touch with him and ask him what's the name of that instrument. Let me just think. There's so many. That's why I wanted to jump on that question, because that's a good question. And there was so many other musicians that were coming around and that was doing stuff. And, you know, and you guys know about Ernest Pepper Reed, right? Ernest Pepper Reed was the guitar player that really was the one that was, I mean, he took that popping thing to another stage. But he was also the guitar player in Dynasty, and we lost him very early in the, you know, we lost him in the 19th century, 1990 something. He's probably the best guitar player I ever played with in my life. That guy was amazing, ridiculous, you know. And then you have let me think. Who else is it? Let me think. Who else? Anyway, as we go on in the show and stuff, I will bring those names as they come to me. I'll write them down and I'll talk about it when we come back. All right, so I want you guys to continue to enjoy this music with us, and thank you so much. I am going to answer these other questions that you guys are asking as soon as Don gets back, because I want him to participate in this with me. This is Wardell Pashjean for Solar Records Radio. I also want to talk to you guys about tomorrow on Solar Wants to Dance at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Solar Wants to Dance, 2 p.m. Eastern Standard. Tune in. We're just four on the floor, hitting it hard, getting that cardio going. And I got to tell you, okay, so, you know, I've been talking about this for the longest, and so then I go to the doctor, right? Oh, boy. And I'm feeling weird. I don't know what's wrong with me. You could ask Greg, he'll tell you. And I'm like, what is wrong? I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm just, and, you know, and my heart rate is way up, and my doctor's, your blood pressure is good, but your heart rate, why is your heart rate up so high? I said, I don't know. That's why I come here to see you for. So he was like, he's just looking at it. My heart rate was at 111, and I was just sitting there. He's like, your heart rate is at 111, and you're just sitting here. It's freaking me out. You know, I lost two friends last year from heart attacks. I don't know. That's why I rushed in here. And so he's like, okay, hold on. Let me just do an EKG on you. And I said, oh, so when you want to do that? He said, right now. I said, right now? Now I'm all scared, you know. It's just like, oh, my God. What did I just sign up for again? And so I was like, okay, doc. And so we do this EKG, and I'm like, man, I don't want to hear nothing bad. I don't want to hear anything crazy. And so he does this EKG, and then it comes back, and he says, well, your heart rate is only at 77. He says, you're fine. He said, what are you stressed out about? I said, stress? He said, yeah, that's just stress. I said, maybe I'm stressed out because I'm here, the CNU. He said, well, that's true. It happens to a lot of people. Their blood pressure flies up. But he said, it's just ironic that your heart rate went up and your blood pressure is fine. So I said, well, anyway. The reason why I do the Solar Wants to Dance is because, you know, we do have to take care of our health, right? And it's really important, and we want to be health conscious here just as much as we are spirit conscious. We want to make sure you're in a good place spiritually as well as in a good place, and, you know, physically. And so if, you know, you want to join us, it starts at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard, and you don't have to work out. You could just do something that's just, you know, driving you, hanging out, and just listen to some good up-tempo music, you know. It's late for some of my friends overseas, and so you probably don't want to work out, you know, even though I see people in the gym at night. You know, Astra go to the gym at night. As a matter of fact, we need to pray for Astra. She's really not doing well. She's not feeling good. She's on antibiotics, and she has some kind of infection in her voice, in her throat or something. So, you know, to keep Astrid in your prayer. But she goes to the gym in the evenings and stuff. So so we're just going, like I said, four on the floor for hours straight. We're going to be working out. And so if you want to hang out with us, come on and join us tomorrow. We're going to have a good time. All right. We're going to have a very good time. And that flyer that Greg, you made, ooh, man, dude, that's beautiful. I want to do the show now. And I looked at the flyer. I was like, whoo, that's a good flyer. That's my brother. All right, guys. So listen, I'm going to play another couple of songs, then I'm going to come back and you guys, answer all your other questions and stuff. But let's get to the music, right? Because I know that's what you came for, right? Not to hear me talk, but hear some good soul music, right? All right, so here's a song I wrote for the Silvers. This is a song I really, really like. It's called I'm Falling for Your Love, featuring Pat Silvers on vocals. And here we go.
Thank you. Let's do this. Right. Let's do this. Let's do this. Let's do this. Let's do this.
Thank you. worthy of my best. Hasta la vista, baby.
Jody Watley looking for a new love, man, oh man. You know, you can say whatever you want to say about Jody, but that her voice, she had the tone that carried her songs. I mean, and it just, you can't deny that, right? We just can't deny that. It's just amazing listening to her voice and knowing, you know, how good she really was. And I got to tell you, I had a lot of fun with Jody. She was a lot of fun. You know, I told you I played with Dynasty and Shalamar on the road. And when we were on the road, we were close. And her and Jermaine and myself would always act silly and do silly things and, you know, hang out a little bit. And Jody Watley was really kind. She was a good girl, and she was always trying to do the right thing. And periodically, she would find herself in places that make you uncomfortable. And, you know, just being a woman, a good-looking woman that's successful, you know, people are going to challenge you, right? And you have to be ready for it. So my hat's off to Jody Watley for just doing it right and doing it well. And I'm proud of you as you continue to do your thing and be a blessing to, you know, you and your family. So thank you, Jody, and the listeners, all of us. So anyway, guys, here we are. An hour has gone by. An hour has gone by. And so I did my job. And as I'm doing my job to make sure I find out what this instrument is that Dana Myers plays, I find out that Greg is ahead of me. Good gracious. I called Dana. He said, yeah, Greg, Greg did this and Greg did that. And I was like, what? And I said, okay, well, if you get a chance, just call in and share. He goes, oh, okay. I said, do you remember the number? He said, oh, yeah, Greg gave it to me. I was like, Greg again? Good gracious. Thanks, Greg. I'm telling you, he's on top of it. He does not play. Woo! That's the guy you want to have on your side. Speaking of the guy you want to have on your side, my goodness. Hello to Tracy and Layla from the UK. Greg did an amazing job on you guys. And you guys are beautiful anyway. So, mama and daughter, you know, I got to tell the daughter that leaf don't fall too far from the tree, young lady. You know, you have a beautiful mom, and you are definitely an extension of her. So, excellent, excellent, excellent job, Greg. And we appreciate you guys tuning in, first-time listeners to Solar Records Radio. We much love to you guys, and we just pray you have a wonderful and blessed weekend, and make sure you go and see Greg again, and thank you again for tuning in to our show. We appreciate you with all of our heart. Hey, So, like I said, Greg is always on. He got it going on. So listen, what else is going on here? We want to, I'm going to wait for Don to Fleming to come back. He's here, but he's just doing some things. And so as soon as he gets finished doing that and get back on the microphone, he can help me with all these questions and stuff. And so we're going to get right to it. But in the meantime, I'm going to jam out on the music, okay? And much love, Greg. And so I'm gonna just keep jamming out the music. Now this I'm not trying to make this about me, but this is another song that I wrote, it was Carrie Lucas's biggest hit, and so I want to play this song for you because that's just ironic. Another song, man. I need to see what's going on with my royalties. anyway. So this song is called Show Me Where You're Coming From, and I really love this song. I'm very proud of it and proud of the work. I wrote this with Joseph Gallo and Kevin Spencer. So kick back, relax, and enjoy this music that we have for you today here on Solar Records Radio. God bless you and thank you.
Show me where you're coming from, baby.
Wow. Babyface, man, I tell you, when he came in as a producer, even a songwriter with The Deal, he came in, he was a part of The Deal. And when he came in with The Deal, it was like, it was something about it. You know, The Deal got signed to Solar because of the songs that were just great. And the Midnight Star is the group that brought The Deal in. And Babyface and L.A. producers were signed to, or they were a part of The Deal. And so once Dick had discovered who they were, my goodness, he started pulling them in right away and having them to work on music and stuff for other artists inside of Solar. And, you know, it's just, and these guys are just amazing. So when you hear that song right there, it's like, good gracious, he had such a, Babyface, such a wonderful way with music and lyrics. And I know he was listening to, you know, Midnight Star, Leon Silvers, and just, you know, learning. And Dick Griffey really taught him a lot. We were just a few years back, we were at this event where we got an award for, well, Solar got an award for, you know, company at the, I forgot what the award is. It's like for the, I'm looking at the award right now. Let me see. Celebrating 40 years of music in the music industry, Solar Records. And so that's from the city of Los Angeles. And Face and I were standing there, and Face started talking in the microphone about, you know, what he, you know, what Dick had taught him and how he was blessed because of Dick Griffey. And it was just wonderful to hear him be so humble and share about what another man had done for him, opened up the doors for him, and allowed him to become the producer that he became. And I'm so proud of him for sharing that and having such a tender heart and just being so gracious. So thank you, Babyface. All right. So anyway, so this question right here, guys, man, oh, man, let me see, where is that question? So right here says, also, you said that you wanted to write songs to Leon. So you bought the Casio keyboard. Yes, you remember. Yes, I did. That was my first keyboard. Yes. So you bought the Casio keyboard. You got it home and unpacked it. Dang. Do you have a video camera on me? You got it home. You unpacked it. And what happened? How did you deal with the new instrument? Okay, so great question. And I just started playing with it and you know, messing around and having some ideas and stuff. And so, and I was telling my friend about it. I was like, man, I'm trying to. He was a keyboard player. His name, Barry Sauner. And Barry Sauner was the keyboard player. Oh, that's another musician I want to tell you about, that whoever asked that question about other musicians. Barry Sauner was a keyboard player for Shalimar. And Randy Melicon also was a keyboard player for Shalimar. And both of them, they were on the live stuff with me when I went on the road. We all were on the road together. And when we came back, I was telling Barry that I wanted to do that as well. So I told Barry, I got the keyboard and I'm trying to figure this out and stuff. And so so Barry, I said, come over to my house. So I went over to his house and we were just working stuff out. So then I said, you know what? I'm going to give this to Howard and see if he can come up with something. So I did. I said, Howard, hey, I'm working on this song and I need some help. And so he said, okay, let's get together. And I said, all right, cool. So I don't know if Howard came to my house or I went to his house, but we got together and he says, okay, cool. He starts singing stuff. He says, I work on it. I get back. I said, okay. And next thing I know, we were in the studio recording the song. So I'm going to play it for you. It's not one of Shalimar's big hits or anything, but it is. It did make the album. I did get a gold plaque for it. And it was one of my first songs that I wrote. And so I want to play it for you guys right now. And this song that I wrote with Howard and Barry is called You Won't Miss Love Until It's Gone. Woo! So that's one of the first songs that I wrote. And by the way, with that Casio keyboard, you were talking about with the question, it's playing the bass in this song. And so, and Barry Sauner played the bass part for me. And so thank you for the question. I think I have my brother on the line. Dana Myers, is that you, bro?
What's up, Throwdown Brother?
Throwdown Brother, how are you?
Man, I'm just staying out of the way.
Oh, wow. Well,
you know,
don't
there's,
say
there's, in LA again, so I'm kind of, you know, staying out of the way. It's gonna have to knock on my door, you know.
Oh, COVID
to get.
Did you say COVID
is
back
man?
In LA? I'm good.
Huh?
Did you say COVID? Did you say COVID's back in LA?
Yes, right. They said on the news that it's up again, and they're thinking about, you know, putting you know, making it the mask mandate again. So it's gotten like that. So.
Okay, I have a strange question for you. Like, someone asked me this question. It was strange for me too, and so I want to ask you, what's your favorite song you've ever written? See?
Oh, wow. That's asking, like, what are your kids? You know, which one is your favorite? That's not fair.
Right,
you know?
Exactly. It's not fair.
Yeah, I don't, you know.
Okay, what's your favorite top 10 song? But you could just do 5 if you want.
In the world, you mean?
Yeah, because I know you wrote for a lot of other artists outside of
Solar.
Yeah, that you wrote.
Okay. Oh.
Five. Just give us 5.
Okay, it has to be, I mean, the ones that did the most. It's a Love Thing.
It's a Love, okay.
Night to Remember. This is for the Lover in You.
Yeah.
You remember one of my book, which was Gladys Knight and the Pips.
Right. Number one in my book. That's
fifth one. I'm not sure. There's too many that, you know, that the fifth one will probably be about 6 or 7 songs. You know.
Right.
A song that
right.
it wasn't big
but
that
you,
I really,
but can
I
you,
really special to see can, is one me and can, you and me and you wrote together with Ronald Parker.
Does that ring a bell?
Yes, does that ring a bell? Yeah, that's one of my favorites because of the whole thing about, you remember how that happened? I mean, you remember where we were? We were sitting on the floor at somebody's house up at
Mom Silver's.
Yeah. Actually, it was someplace Charmaine was staying, had a house. It was huge, though. And they were making so much noise in the room, one room, everybody just playing all at once in different keys. Me and you and Parker found a room someplace, and you had that little tiny Casio that you were just talking about, and Parker had his bass, you know, we just, a tape machine, and it just happened, you know, because Parker plays that melodic bass line thing, so it's like, he plays so much like Leon that we knew it was placed immediately, before we even put anything to it.
Wow.
So that's one of my favorite songs, you know.
Yeah. But one of my favorite songs that you wrote that you didn't mention, God, is There It Is.
Oh, yeah, that did well in Europe, too.
Yeah, but you didn't mention it. Oh, God.
I when you put somebody on the spot,
like,
especially somebody as old as me, it's just going to be a roadblock. I'm not going to speak. You're lucky you got 4 songs, man. Come on. I was stumbling through that, you know.
I told you it was an awkward question.
And by the way, we have to say co-wrote. We have to say co-wrote. You know, it's not like I wrote those by myself. It's, you know, with
right.
William Shilke and Leon and Steve Shockley and mm-hmm. you
mm-hmm.
and Howard Hewitt. So, you know, I mean, I said, you know, we were a machine back then, man. It was, you know, General Motors, you know.
Yeah, it was on. It was on big time.
We have the premiere for The Unsung for Dick Griffey, you know, and Solar thing. I wish you could have been there. We had that a couple of weeks ago.
I know. I wish I could have been there, too.
Yeah.
And then, sorry, but I just got back from Arizona, and my nephew passed away, and so I didn't, I couldn't.
Sorry.
Yeah. So, but yeah, that was nice. Just, I've seen pictures of you guys all together, and Don Fleming is there. Don, that he's talking about, that was like the premiere of the Unsung that they did. Remember the Unsung?
Oh,
we were talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. Let me take the time to clear something up. Probably not once and for all, but I'm going to say it again. I've said it about 3 times. We were sitting there and they were playing, you know, the thing was showing. Leon was like maybe over an aisle from me. And Scotty or I can't remember which one of them was talking about. I mean, you know, Nick had said it before. I guess it's just like the Republican thing. If you say something enough, it becomes real.
Oh,
and it was, Leon Silver's on, and the beat goes on. He played the drums one at a time. And me and Leon looked at each other at the same time and said, that's the wrong song. You know, everybody busted out laughing. It's like, you don't take the haze away from Wardell. That was like his first tune. You know, they don't understand the song was not for them in the first place. It was for Myers, Steel, Park, Wood. We went to the Fort Knox to cut it. And we were there all day. We went to pick up the stuff from the rehearsal hall and drove like 8 in the morning or something. Started playing maybe at 12 and was there till after 12. Doing 3 songs, and the beat goes on, a song that ended up being called Out the Box, at the time it was called something else, at Stevie's Ballad. So, I mean, you worked hard on that, man, to have somebody say, Leon did that on that ballad.
He did a homemade loving.
What's that boy doing? Because he was behind, all you could see was his afro going up and down, and he's hitting the kick drum. You know, with his hand, down on his hands and knees. That was Stevie's Ballad, but, you know, you played on the other stuff. So I can't say that enough because that's a big record. That credit should not be taken away from you.
Yeah,
it's
frustrating.
Remember me and you, Kashi told us that he used the breakdown of that song where your drums was to write everything he wrote from that drum beat of And the Beat Goes On. That's a big deal, man.
Yeah, Kashif, yeah. I told Don that story, and I told you Kashif gave me a check of $5,000, right?
Right.
Mm.
That was nice. I was like, man, all these songs, really? Because back then they didn't have samplers, but they did have the Sinclair, which is like a $25,000 sampler. And so he put it in the Sinclair and he stretched it, you know, to make it match, you know, the groove that he was working on. Or he, for the most part, he would build it from that, the grooves from that. And
right.
So, and it was just amazing.
I think he started doing that even before Evelyn King, I'm in love. He must have cut it and looped it because he said everything. So that means, you know, what's the, you know, the Howard Johnson song and Evelyn King and all of that stuff.
So fine, what's the song? I can't think of what song. I feel about you.
I'm in love. I'm in love.
It's like there's some lyrics there. Love Come Down, that tune.
Yeah, Love Come Down. Yeah, so he told me Love Come Down. He did that with Love Come Down for sure. And so I was like, wow, I was really blown away. I was at his apartment in New York when he told me that, and I was like, whoa.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I
bet you she don't love you also.
Yeah, yeah. I bet you see. I love that one. That's a good fun. I can play that tomorrow. But anyway, yeah. So tell us, please tell us, Dana. And thank you for clarifying that. I really appreciate that because I'll do it again.
I've done it. This is my third time saying that. I said it on Facebook once after Nick did the thing on TV, and one of their fans was pissed at me, man. He told my butt off, boy, you know.
What?
Uncle Nick, you know, like, what? Well, he just, you know, he remembers it wrong. I'm sorry. It ain't like, you know, but can't take the credit away from the cat that did it, you know.
Well, this, yeah.
So I guess if you take some stuff time, it becomes real. So I'm just going to start saying I did stuff, you know. See how it just kicked in. Yeah, you know, I produced Off the Wall and Thriller.
That's the way you remember it. That's what you remember, right? Yeah. So
that's the Trump way of doing things. You know, you just say it all to become a
stories are telling.
So anyway, you want to ask me
about my weird instrument, right?
Yeah, so the instrument that you played, what is it called again?
It was You know, it's amazing that Greg called and asked me about it, but it's amazing that earlier my friend Raymond Crossley, who was, you know, a Motown producer and stuff, we were talking, and he brought that up. He said, you were the only N-word in the world that played one of those. You know, so, he's partially right. Somebody did play one before, but it was not electric. Auto Harp. He played it on, remember the group The Loving Spoonful with John Sebastian? He played it on Do You Believe in Magic? But it was just, you know, it might. I was the first one to put a pickup on it and plug it into a wah-wah pedal and, you know, a fuzz box and everything. And we were already a weird group. And then once I did that, and people looked at me for about two songs before even paying, just trying to figure out what planet I was from, you know. So, you know, it was enough people thought Maurice White was weird for playing the kalimba when they saw me.
Right.
With the auto-harp.
I thought it was the same instrument. But
it's an actual harp. You remember in grade school, they laid them down. I had mine on a chest, with a strap. But in elementary school, it's just on a little table, and you played it. You sung little kid songs against it, you know, playing because it plays a chord, you know, auto harp. You know, it's a harp, but, you know, it has a chord. But when I had it first, only had 12 chords. Then I got one with 15. Then I finally got one, the max one, with 21. And but it's a limited instrument, so I had to work around that. And the guitar player really helped me by showing me subordinate chords and partial, you know, play these notes on it, but leave this note off so it's not a train wreck. And we didn't have a keyboard player, so I took up the space of that, you know. And it worked because that's the kind of band we were, Platypus. We were weird, man. Everybody played two or three instruments, man. There was only six of us, you know, so we had to make up for all the stuff we didn't have. And I don't know. Somebody said we were a mix between Yes and the Funkadelics. That's too weird, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
wow.
So, but I thought they were going to laugh at me when I saw the instrument. It was a fish. We lived on Adams. I was walking down to Crenshaw, and I don't think I was going to, but I was walking past this record store, and it was just sitting in the window in the summertime, just baking, right? And I looked at it. I don't know why I would look at something like that and think it could possibly be used in what we were doing, but I did. I didn't have any money. We were some broke cats, man. So I went back, and I had, you know, a bunch of albums. So I grabbed a bunch of albums and traded them in on the auto harp. And and I thought, I'm going to get mocked. So you know how it is in bands when you're in your 20s. You remember that. I said, they're going to laugh at me just for having this, you know. They didn't. Everybody, like, joined in, like, oh, you can do this, and you can do this, you can do this. I couldn't believe it. So before I knew it, I was, you know, I had to learn, but it was a whole different thing. I had to learn how to sing and play different rhythms. And, you know, it was a different – I bit off a lot, you know, but in your 20s, you could do anything. I just sat around all day being auto harp, so, you know, and learning how to play the individual notes. I was playing individual notes on it. I have one now, and I can't – I don't know how I was doing. I listened to, you know, demos and records. I have no idea how I was doing that, you know.
Oh, my God.
Dipping
cat. Some stuff, but, and they all said, well, you got to play the auto harp. So I bought one. And, man, you know, 1917 is gone, man. So I don't know who I have to go to teach me how to play this bad boy, you know. But I'll figure it out, you know.
Well, listen, I got about 15 minutes left in the show. I have a couple more questions for you. I wanted to also tell you that I had a meeting with Nick after he made that statement. I went and had lunch with him out in the valley.
Okay.
And he pulls up in this beautiful Rolls Royce. I'm going, Lord have mercy. He is Mr. Nick,
right,
isn't he? Lord. And he comes. I mean, but he doesn't come out of character either, because he came in and he looked like he was performing on the stage as he was walking in. He's always smooth, right? And so we're sitting down and we're just talking, and I'm like, so Nick, you know, first of all, I just want to say thank you for, you know, for everything that you've done for me. He's really, like, you know, I have respect for him like an uncle, his Uncle Nick, but,
right,
you know,
right.
And so he was just really gentle and kind. You know how he's so overly kind and gentle when he sees you,
right.
and it's just beautiful. And so, and I mentioned it about the song. I said, so,
He laughs like a lion roars. He was completely another guy after what he was. He was like he's gonna die when he starts laughing. Man. I used to love that.
I said, so Nick, I just wanted to.
But you told him though, right?
Yeah. I told him. I said, you know, we talked about other things because we talked about writing some stuff for their project and stuff. But I said, I wanted to just mention to you also about the interview that you did. That you said you mentioned that, you know, Leon did the numbers on the wrong song, and he said, "Oh." And so then, you know, we talked about it. I told him it was. I believe it was Homemade Lovin'. You said it was a ballad, but I believe it was Homemade Lovin'. But it could have been a ballad.
Did it on a few different that day that we did And the Beat Goes On, he did it on a ballot. I know he probably did it.
But Nick wasn't there. He was there when they did Homemade Lovin'.
That's what I'm saying. That what the song was for us, me and Mark and Vernon.
Right.
We worked on that for 2 months before y'all even cut it, you know.
So I'm just saying when the ballot that Leon did the numbers on, Nick wasn't there.
No.
So it had to be Homemade Lovin'.
Yeah,
right. So because he was there for Homemade Lovin', but he wasn't there for that ballad. So anyway, so I wanted to say that, you know, and once we talked about it and he apologized and everything, I thought it was done and over.
Right.
And then here comes Walter saying the same story,
man. It's like, man, come on, don't say that.
I've gotten phone. I know. I got other people calling me, even people in the Whispers camp calling me going, did you hear what Walter said? I go, yeah. Go, I can't believe he did that. Why did he steal Nick's story?
man. It's that Republican they tell you. If you stand up, it becomes true.
I know.
So we might have to do a video. We may have to do a video so that's on YouTube, too. Me and you and Leon or something, you know what I mean? It's like, then it can't, we were there, it can't, and working on the stuff, it can't be denied. You know, Ricky,
right,
whoever, Steve, everybody that was there that day, the whole Throwdown Brothers camp was there, you know. And so that'll just, you know, just make the statement once and for all. We and Leon screamed at the top of our lungs. We looked at each other and said at the same time in unison, that's the wrong song. And the Galloways and everybody was around us, they all busted out laughing, you know. So,
that's
ridiculous, man. But, you know, so we have to do something about that because otherwise it's going to be like in part of the culture because it's on YouTube now, you know, unsung.
Yeah.
So we've got to fix that.
Okay, thank you. And what else was it that I wanted to ask you? Oh, can you share with us, you know, we were in Studio Masters, and we were constantly doing all the stuff, you know, that we were doing for, you know, Solar. But somehow we ended up working on the Spinners. How did that happen?
Oh, they came to, you remember when we were hot, so everybody came to us, Tavares, the Spinners, Gladys Knight, Glenn Jones. You know, their management, or not even their managers, A&R directors for their label called us. And we would have meetings and play them songs. And you know, and so we played, me and Leon and Zim played them a bunch of songs. And they, them and the manager, because I don't think the A&R director was there, they chose which ones they liked. And, you know, we went in and cut. Actually, we cut them initially. We cut most of that stuff at Mars. For the Spinners. Nicest cats in the world. It's like only one of them. Well, John is alive too, but he's like in a wheelchair. I don't know what's wrong with him. Only Henry is alive and functioning. The rest of those guys are gone. It's so sad, man.
Oh, wow. Yes.
I talked to Butch Tavares 2 weeks ago. He's still the same guy. His energy still, you know. It was really nice to talk to him and hear him sounding exactly like he did in 1984, whatever it was, you know.
I don't know anybody.
That the stuff that we did on him, that he remembers, out of all the stuff they did, he likes and remembers and had the most fun with us working with. That's amazing. because that stuff didn't really hit. You know, they had huge hits. So it's amazing that he remembers and likes what we did with it. I guess it was just fun to him, you know. So.
Well, you know, I got to tell you that Glenn Jones, every time he goes to the U.K., whenever he goes to the U.K., they tell him what to play, and it's all the stuff that we did on Glenn.
Okay.
It's really, wow. And you know, he had huge hits, but they want the sound of Solar. They went at the concerts.
Right.
They dictate what he has to play, and he's like, okay, if that's you paying me, I'll do what you tell me. And so he came onto the show and shared that, and it was just kind of like he was laughing, like, I can't believe it. He said, well, me either. I can't believe it too, but I'm glad that they love the sound of Solar over there. And the song Deeper in Love, I've never heard a man hit that natural. So
Ooh.
High.
Man, I kept, you know how I am. I had got caught with the Leon syndrome like all of us did. It was like over and over, you know, having to dot every I and cross every T. So I was having to do it over and over and over again. And then it was out of like being pissed at me that he hit it that way, you know. He just hit it so. And Dan Marshall was behind me saying, good Lord. So we knew we had it that time.
I mean, that
is like unbelievable, man. It's like that a human man can hit a note, you know. But Scotty did the same thing. Remember,
yeah,
on what's it, In the Raw? When I put the guide vocal down, I sung it my falsetto. I thought that's the only way that could be done. And he said, my falsetto isn't really happening today, so I'm gonna have to hit that in full voice. I said, man, please. And Leon wrote the tape, and he hit that just natural. I said, man, unbelievable.
Oh my
It's like
God.
What you know. He was. Were you in the Vienna Boys Choir or something? What kind of man sing that? I, you know.
Okay, all right.
Wow.
Now, real quick, I want Don to read this question. So it's for me, but now it's for you since you're here. So can you read that question, Don? And it's for you too, Don. It's for everybody. So we all can answer it. We got 5 minutes.
I'm scrolling down to it now. Give me a second. It is, if there can't be another Galaxy of Stars tour, might it be possible to get a stage play together based on the label and its history? For example, Solar the Musical. Would that be a possibility?
You know, they had a Whispers Broadway thing, so why couldn't they do Solar?
Hmm. Okay, I think that would be amazing.
You know, that was out. Huh?
I think that would be amazing, and then turn it into a movie. I think it would be amazing.
I've been, there's a lot of stuff in the works. You just have, I don't want to talk about it because, you know, anytime I say something out loud that hasn't happened yet, it falls apart. So I'm just going to keep it to myself. But there's stuff in the works that has to do with Solar and, you know, a lot of people want to make documentaries and stuff, right? So, I mean, everybody now knows about
and people
Solar
want to be controversial. People want to be controversial,
you know,
all the time. Sometimes you just don't want to deal with that. You just want to be tried and true with a lot of the, you know, what happened and what transpired instead of trying to get into all of that nonsense. So I totally get it.
Yeah, but, you know, it's a positive thing. I told them that they can't really make a full documentary just on, like, Dick and Solar without talking about Dayton Ohio, talent that came out of there, Maverick Splat on Crenshaw, and Soul Train. Those four things, and Solar, those four things all come together and pull one of them out, and none of them are happening. So, and people are starting to understand that. Even Snoop Dogg said on a post the other day, like, you know, he said the rappers and the hip-hop, he said, we all Ohio players, if y'all don't know about Dayton and Zapp and, you know, Roger and everything that came and Lakeside that came out of there, you need to find out, you know. So
we were talking to Steve about that a long time ago. Yeah, there's no West Coast hip hop really without what was coming out in Ohio.
Yeah, they used for about 3 years. So Junie, they were just Junie all up and down.
Mm-hmm. Then we're not even talking about, you know, talking about King Records and what James Brown was doing in Cincinnati.
Right.
So.
Right. All right, guys. Well, we're out of time. And Dana, thank you for calling in. And I hope you enjoyed your dinner. And I know Don ate, too. He was gone long enough to eat.
I ate it so fast, I snorted it. So I'm not sure I got any nutrition.
Hey.
Leftover meatball sub.
Dana, much love from Greg from overseas in the UK. He sends his love to you, man. And
he's a bad work. I love his work. His work on for your site and stuff is great. And every time it's like,
yeah,
big, beautiful, like a billboard on the strip or something. It looks great. So
I know he's really amazing. Yeah, we really are blessed because of him. So. And he loves what we did for him back in the day, and he's doing it for us now. So he's definitely doing it for me every day. I'm talking to this guy. So thank you. Thank you, Dana, for calling in, man. Love you and appreciate you very much.
Thank you, man. The next time I call in, I'm just going to tell a bunch of lies, right? And we didn't get that started. So I'm going to take credit for all kinds of stuff, you know. So if you something's real, you know. I played the drums on that beat goes, you know.
Right. Dang.
All right, brothers. I appreciate you.
All right. Well, all right. I'm gonna close out with our song, Dana. Does that ring a bell? Thank you for writing it with me and take care of yourself.
You guys.
Have a blessed weekend.
All right.
All right.
Have
okay,
a good
Don.
One.
Well, thanks, Don, so much. Peace out. All right. See you, Dana. All right, Don. Well, God bless you, man. Take care.
You too, man. Talk to you soon.
All right. And to all the listeners, thank you guys so much for blessing us and being a part of Solar Records Radio. Good night and God bless.
All right. Good night.